From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo backs further away from hydrofracking in his economic development plans. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the latest political scandal, and we'll take a look at the governor's plan for allowing businesses to operate tax-free on SUNY campuses. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who still has not issued a decision on whether hydrofracking should be allowed in New York, is backing further away from the controversial gas drilling process in his economic development plans for the future. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
2 years ago, Governor Cuomo considered hydrofracking a key component of his plans for economic development in the faltering upstate regions of the state. Now, with a decision stalled over a months-long health review by the administration, Cuomo is spending more time focusing on other ideas, like expanding casino gambling and attracting businesses through a tax-free offer for tech startups near all SUNY campuses upstate and on Long Island.
Which are 100% tax-free communities that will be located all across the state of New York. This is how it will work.
New businesses would pay no taxes for the first decade of any sort. Even employees would not owe any income taxes. Governor Cuomo was asked recently at a press conference about how fracking fits into his economic development plans. His answer, it doesn't.
There's been no change in where we are on fracking. That's not what I was referring to when I was talking about economic development ideas.
The governor's health commissioner, Dr. Nirav Shah, also said recently he continues to examine large-scale studies being conducted by the EPA and in Pennsylvania on the long-term health effects of fracking.
Since the last time I spoke, I've been to Washington, D.C., met with EPA officials on their study. I've been to Pennsylvania, met with the Marcellus Research Institute officials about their plan study. My plan is to continue to work on this until I am comfortable that we have a good review.
Fracking out! People in! Fracking out! People in!
Anti-fracking groups held the latest of numerous protests at the state capitol, this time joining up with tenant activists and advocates for campaign finance reform. Roger Downs with the Sierra Club says while no news is good news on fracking going forward in New York, he'd like to see a more definitive answer.
I think that he realizes that there's a real downside, an economic development downside to fracking. I think he's very nervous about it. But I think he also the public deserves to know what he intends to do.
Downs and others are seeking another state moratorium on fracking. The measure has already passed the state assembly, but it stalled in the Senate. It would take the gas drilling process out of consideration for economic development or any other plans for at least 2 more years. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, it just seems like every week there's just one more thing to add to the political pile, and there's a bunch of things to talk about. Let's start with the fact that Assemblyman Vito Lopez resigned on Monday because he was essentially going to be forced out after a State Ethics Commission report on sexual harassment. He is claiming his innocence to this, but certainly he has resigned and moved on. Meanwhile, Speaker Silver, who has been pacing with some of this because of his role in the settlement in the case, has apologized, has promised reform in the sexual harassment case amid calls for him to step down, mostly on the Republican side. Your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I was talking to a couple of reporters, female reporters, yesterday. And guess what they were calling him? Gropez. That's his name. They don't even bother with it. So, you know, he has a terrible reputation now as a result of this. When he had power, when he was one of the most powerful Democrats in the state, and he was the head of the Brooklyn Democratic Organization, and he could make a judge or he could make a political candidate, you know, what happened then was that he had to be listened to and he had to be protected. And I'm sure that's what Shelley Silver was up against. Listen, these guys have been trading for so long that you better believe that everybody knows secrets. So if you don't protect a colleague in this kind of situation, you could be in bad shape. However, Shelley Silver is one of the smartest men I know. I truly believe he's not going anywhere. He made a mistake, or it's something that we all think is a mistake, because we don't want taxpayers, our taxpayer money, being used to pay off women to protect people who are potentially corrupt politicians. So therefore, he was investigated. He was found to be, you know, that it wasn't going to be seen as criminal. And everybody said, OK, get out or face the music. So then he came back with this thing. He's going to resign later on. They all said not good enough either now or it's too late. And he had been stripped of all of his positions and everything else in the assembly, but he was still there. He announces he's going to run for the New York City Council. Mayor Bloomberg says, and that's not a good idea. It's time to pack it in. There's no politician who wants to get anywhere near this guy. I mean, let's face it, he stinks. Now, Silver is another whole matter. If you think about it for a second, why would he resign? The only way he resigns is we don't vote for Silver. His conference votes for him. If the conference starts getting so much heat, if somebody gives a assemblyman on the corner, you know, thing, and somebody looks at him and or her and says, how can you possibly vote for him? And it really gets so hot that they start to worry about whether or not they're going to be reelected, then I think Silver would be in trouble. But here's the secret that many people don't know. I like Shelley Silver. You know, I think he made a mistake, and he said he made a mistake. But I think he's very bright, he's very canny, and much of the progressive legislation that has happened in this state has happened because of Shelley Silver. So I think, all things considered, based on everything I know right now, and things could change, he survives. And the second part of this is, who's going to take his place? The number two guy in the state assembly is a guy named Denny Farrell, who I also like a lot. He's the head of the Ways and Means Committee. He's tall. He's of color. He's brilliant. But he's also one other thing. He's about, I think, about 82, 83 years old, something like that, maybe older. If you take a look at the way Franklin Roosevelt played all the people who wanted to run for president when he was deciding whether he would run again, he played them all off against each other, but there was no clear favorite. I think that's true here, too. The assembly doesn't know who it would put in. There's some movement by women there who say it should be a woman speaker. Now, I can't disagree with that. Nevertheless, my bet is Shelley Silver stays.
Now enter another scandal-clad politician who's decided to jump back in the race, a political race, and that's the race for New York City mayor, and we're talking about Anthony Weiner.
Well, that's right. Anthony Weiner, of course, inexplicably, he just went nutty, and he mailed to women pictures of himself in his underwear, leaving nothing to the imagination. Of course, it's unfortunate for him that his name happened to be Weiner, because the tabloids will not let up on him. In fact, there was, as we speak today, there was a cartoon in one of the tabs which showed all of the people who are running for mayor, none of whom are distinguished, which is what the big issue is here. None of these people are doing all that well. And they're all marching out, and the last guy is in his underpants, and that's Weiner. So I think that Weiner faces a hard road to travel here. I don't see this as something. He's got a lot of money in the bank from his former congressional days. So he's got several million dollars that he can spend on a campaign. But what are you going to say? All he can keep saying is, I made a mistake. And that's true. The part that I find fascinating about this is whether or not people are getting tired of all the sex gotcha stuff. If they listen to the New York Daily News or the New York Post, they ain't going to write. There isn't going to be a Weiner candidacy. But there is something about a country where 51% of the people, of the marriages, end in divorce and more. And much of that is about sex and gotcha sex. I got you. I saw you. You did this. You did that. And people are saying, well, people are people. So this thing may be overreaching on the part of the tabloids. And, you know, unless somebody else comes into the race, he's got a shot. He's number two in the polls right now.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Governor Cuomo has taken his new tax-free plan for businesses on the road. He was in New York's Hudson Valley this week, touting his plan to allow new businesses to operate tax-free on SUNY campuses across the state. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn was there and filed this report.
One day after first introducing the plan at several stops across the state, Cuomo was back at it Thursday, delivering a speech at the State University of New York at New Paltz, which would be one of the 64 SUNY campuses statewide designated as tax-free for new businesses.
No business tax, no sales tax, no property tax, no franchise fee, and no income tax for the owner of the company or the employees of the company. A truly no-tax zone. What do you mean by community? I mean the SUNY campuses themselves and 200 square feet adjoining a SUNY campus as a tax-free zone.
He says 55 of the 64 campuses are in upstate New York.
If you have a no-tax environment and you're in the state of New York, you have the best of both worlds, right? You're not paying any taxes and you're in the state of New York. You know, what could be better?
He presented his plan called Tax-Free New York to the legislature Wednesday as an answer to creating jobs and making the startup business environment friendlier in the state to keep businesses from setting up shop in lower or no-tax states.
We also have a 3 million square foot pool for private university space. We don't want to leave out Marist, otherwise Dennis will be upset.
He refers to President Dennis Murray of Poughkeepsie-based Marist College. Jonathan Drapkin is president and CEO of Newburgh-based nonprofit planning and policy organization Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress.
It comes down to you can't have it both ways. You can't complain about taxes and then not be willing to do something creative about it.
He thinks the governor's idea is creative, and while he says he likes the plan conceptually, he awaits the details.
To the degree we had another program like the Empire Zone, where people learned how to manipulate that program. Hopefully we learn from our mistakes so that when we establish a program like this, that, you know, what is a new company? What are new employees? Who are people that will be able to legitimately take advantage of this, that we've learned from programs that didn't work, and therefore, as we establish this one, we tighten up certain components of it so that this can work the way that the governor wants it to. And I think that we've got to accept the fact that we have to do something different.
Again, here's Cuomo.
Entrepreneurship meets academia meets a regional economy in a tax-free environment in upstate New York. That's what you want to create, and that's what this program does. Promote entrepreneurship and job creation on higher ed campuses as tax-free communities and focus on the upstate economy.
And he says his plan is a bold one, but something has to change.
We have some of the best universities in the country, and we have the best minds in the country. And they're coming up with innovations and ideas that are creating businesses and creating jobs. Our problem is we lose them literally in the first year. Literally in the first year. Why? Because once they become a business, they move to a state that has a better tax environment. And if we can just hold on to the businesses we're creating, it would be a significant boost to this state. If you just stop the loss, the hemorrhaging.
As to some concern about existing businesses or localities that are already economically stressed being left out of the plan, Cuomo says he is already at work reducing taxes, which benefits them.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Education was one of the leading topics discussed this week when New York Governor Andrew Cuomo convened his cabinet at the state capitol in Albany. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and reports high optimism regarding Cuomo's New York State Master Teacher Program.
The state unemployment numbers that came out last week was great news for the state. I mean, that was significant progress. It's a herky-jerky economy, but those numbers were really, really good news. And it's about jobs, and that's our number one issue. If we have a number two issue, it's going to be about education.
The governor proposed the Master Teacher Program in his State of the State address in January. SUNY Chancellor Nancy Zimpher says it will provide $15,000 each year for 4 years to math and science teachers who mentor new and aspiring teachers.
A $60,000 investment in our best teachers who will make a commitment to really be leaders in the field, and in this case, to help novice teachers in their first few years of teaching, and teachers who are learning to teach the pre-service students in our universities be better, and particularly in the STEM fields. And I think master teacher is a concept that we can roll forward. We're really focusing today on the STEM fields, but we know that the core, the common core, is coming, and it's about English language arts, about math, and about science. So these master teachers will eventually help us across a number of fields.
Cuomo's program is modeled after New York City's Math for America initiative. It rolls out this fall in the Mid-Hudson Valley, Central New York, the North Country, and Western New York, and plans call for a statewide launch in 2014. Billy Easton, executive director of Alliance for Quality Education, believes that while Common Core is a good idea in terms of raising standards and the quality of the curriculum, he sees lots of problems with how it's being implemented.
There's far too much emphasis on testing. We should put a moratorium on the high-stakes consequences associated with these tests. There has not been nearly enough focus on training parents, teachers, and students about what the Common Core is, what the purposes are. It's been a rush to implementation, and we really should take a step back and do it right, because essentially we're creating a backlash against it by the way we're doing it.
Chancellor Zimpher says the message is clear. Teachers want to be recognized for excellence.
And so we're going to use the content of Math for America, math and science, to be the curriculum for these master teachers. And SUNY faculty will actually help develop the curriculum so that a master teacher can be a mentor teacher to beginning teachers and teachers in the pre-service pipeline. So selection is key. You know, how are we going to determine that we're really getting the best teachers? So we've created a number of hurdles that we think will prove that they present to us their teaching portfolio, the gains they've made with their classrooms. So selection is key. Then not every great teacher is really ready to be a mentor teacher, so we really need to give teachers the professional development they need so that they know how to help beginning teachers. And these mentor teachers, these master teachers, will then help further design the professional development for the beginning teachers.
Billy Easton agrees that master teacher programs are a proven, effective strategy.
We have to see how this program works, how it's actually rolled out. There's been some emphasis on this as the competition between teachers, which is not an effective idea. But the idea of mentoring and the research on that is strong. And it's something that, if it works well, should be done on a much larger scale.
Applications will be available in July. The first round of master teachers will be announced in September. SUNY New Paltz, SUNY Plattsburgh, Buffalo State, and SUNY Cortland will host the first four groups of master teachers. The program will be administered through SUNY System Administration and be fully funded through the governor's office.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Agriculture is one of the most dynamic and innovative economic sectors in New York State, but one of the challenges is property taxes. Agriculture is a land-intensive industry, so rising property taxes can mean much higher costs for farmers. And taxes have been rising, thanks mostly to increases in the production value of farmland. The Innovation Trail's Joanna Richards reports.
When I arrive at John Peck's dairy farm, he comes out of his small barn to meet me. Behind him, about 30 barn cats maneuver around and sometimes under 60 milk cows. The Peck Homestead Farm in the town of Champion in Jefferson County has been run by the Peck family for about 200 years. But now, Peck says he's as close as 1 year away from potentially selling off his herd or renting some of his land to a larger operation. And that's because his expenses are going up. Peck says part of that is taxes.
This farm pays in taxes now close between the two parcels, close to $20,000 a year in taxes, school, town, county, fire district. And it affects a lot because we're a small farm.
Peck says his taxes have gone up between $7,000 and $8,000 in the last 10 years. This is why. Farmers in the state of New York can choose how their land is assessed, either like regular homeowners based on local market conditions, or using a state assessment of their crop production capabilities, how they actually use their land. The state's assessment uses a really complicated formula that relies on data from the USDA about crop sales, as well as a rating system based on farmland soil types. By and large, the state's calculations reduce farmland values for taxation purposes. State law also caps the amount a farmer's land value can go up per year at 10%. But recently, many farmers have been hitting that limit every year. This trend in land values is linked to rising prices for corn and soybeans, driven by erratic weather patterns and demand for ethanol. The economic orthodoxy is, if farmers can make more money selling their crops, their land value also increases, and so does their tax bill. But Jay Madison, the agricultural coordinator for Jefferson County, says most farmers aren't making more money on their corn and soybeans.
Corn and soybeans are a big part of the feed that the farmers have to feed their cows. And so the feed prices have been going up dramatically as well.
Madison says most dairy farms grow some of their feed and buy the rest. That can amount to a double whammy for farmers, who are paying more for their stock feed and paying more in taxes as their land increases in assessed value. Peck says it's tempting many farmers to sell. Some legislators are proposing a solution. Assemblyman Ken Blankenbush, a Republican from Black River in Jefferson County, and many of his colleagues want to lower the cap on rising agricultural land values from 10% to 2% each year. Blankenbush says this would help put the brakes on tax increases for New York's challenged farmers, where
the average property tax per farm acre is $26.21. The national average is $6.75. So when our farmers are competing with other farmers in other states, there's a distinct disadvantage.
Blankenbush and County Agricultural Coordinator Madison say everyone should care about boosting small farms in the state. Farmers spend more of their income in their local communities than most other industries, and they help to preserve green space. But for Peck, the dairy farmer, the issue is more personal. His farm is the only place he's ever lived. He points to a 19th century stone house where he was born, then to a similar home about a mile down the road where he lives now. He says there's no better place to raise children. Keeping his farm in business isn't just about making a living. It's about preserving a way of life.
200 years of this farm being in the family is probably kill my mother who's still alive. And I don't know what it would kill me.
In Champion, I'm Joanna Richards for the Innovation Trail.
That was the Innovation Trail's Joanna Richards reporting. Support for the Innovation Trail comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can hear more at innovationtrail.org. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1321. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.